This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number two. Thanks for joining us as we continue Sports Map Radio. We got a throwback Thursday today, celebrating Super Bowl 36 back in 2002. Patriots beating Rams occurred on this date. We also got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. And then Terrell Davis is going to join us at 40 past the hour. So that's coming up in 35 minutes. We're going to talk to him about Super Bowl party tips, but also his involvement in two Super Bowls for the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl 32 and Super Bowl 33. Super Bowl 32 is probably his most famous one. He scored three rushing touchdowns for the Broncos in that game. And he sat out the second quarter with a migraine. Remember, they kind of a famous, I saw three holes, I went through the middle one kind of thing on that final touchdown. But the Broncos were another team that, like we see occasionally with Super Bowl champions that go on the road, had to win games on the road. They beat the Steelers in the AFC title game, went to play Green Bay, another juggernaut team. It was Elway's last run at getting a Super Bowl championship. He was part of a three-loss Bronco team in the 80s that not only lost Super Bowls, but were kind of embarrassing in doing so. They really got kind of destroyed in all three. In the three Super Bowls that Elway lost, Phil Simms nearly had a perfect game on the other side for the New York Giants. The Washington Redskins scored 35 points in the second quarter to blow that game out of the water. And then, of course, they got blown out immediately by San Francisco, who won 55-10. So there was three Super Bowls, three failures at the Super Bowl, and this one back in 1998 looked like it was going to be that way. You know, here's Elway a little older, hanging on. Well, Brett Favre and the Packers were kind of the team in the NFL at that time. But the Broncos held on and won that Super Bowl. And it wasn't just a win. It was the end of the NFC dynasty. And that's the Broncos who broke that. And then they would go on to repeat as Super Bowl champions, beating the Atlanta Falcons down in Miami. And that was it for John Elway. Terrell Davis did make it into the Hall of Fame. He only played seven, eight seasons in the league. But he did rush for over 2,000 yards in one year. He's the Broncos' all-time leading rusher. He had eight touchdowns in that first Super Bowl playoff run during the postseason. So Terrell Davis is going to join us at 40 past the hour. We'll talk to him about the game coming up in next weekend and also his experience in the Super Bowl. But coming up next, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, and here's the good, the bad, and the dumb. So, it is a throwback Thursday, and that's always good, but not as good as the good of the day. What is the good of the day?
Well, you had mentioned it earlier, and I knew we would have to talk about it at some point, but the good of the day was the fact that the U.S. men's soccer team beat Honduras 3-0 to keep their spot in second place firmly secured. And this ends this round of qualifying, the next round, which will be three more games of qualifying, won't happen until March.
Okay, that's good.
That's good.
But now, why Dan Wetzel was angry about it was because it was 2 degrees, it was played in Minnesota, and it seemed to him to take the – there was too much of a competitive advantage – By scheduling a game in Minnesota in February, an outdoor soccer game and on that, a slippery pitch when that, nobody that wanted
guess,
to be out.
You know, we'll kind of say, you know, we'll leave that like to the bad, the dumb. I mean, this story has everything, right? It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. I mean, yeah, like you said, it was 2 degrees on the field, but with the wind chill, it was probably more like -10 to -20.
Yeah.
The feels like. So, I mean, it was frigid temperatures. Now, they did... You know, the Minnesota Vikings did provide warming insoles. They had heated benches. So what does Honduras have to complain about? All I pictured was this. I pictured the Honduras team. You remember that scene in Cool Runnings when the bobsled team first gets to Calgary?
Yes.
That's how I pictured Honduras, is that they didn't want to get out of the airport.
So why are we having soccer games in February in freezing cold weather on icy pitches?
You said it. It's a competitive advantage.
But why are we doing it anyway? We don't play baseball in the middle of the winter. Why are we doing this? It's not a winter sport.
Soccer?
Yeah, it's not an outdoor winter sport. No, it is not.
Well, you should.
You're a soccer guy, but do not sell me that this is played in January all over the Northeast. That's not true.
Okay,
that's not true.
In the U.S., sure, but around the world, it is. You look over in England. You look over in like Germany. They're routinely playing in miserable, cold, rainy, snowy weather.
Right
Scotland,
now?
Scotland, yes.
The leagues are going on right now?
Well, they're on their international break because of World Cup qualifying, but they're going to be starting up again this weekend.
So we can watch England games in snow?
If it's snowing there,
sure. We can watch England games where it's 2 degrees?
You'll probably find it more in Scotland. Scotland's a little bit colder, but yeah, you're going to have soccer there. You're going to have soccer over in Germany happening right now, France. Norway.
I don't mind if you play in February, but why not do it in Orlando or Miami or Southern California?
The
why
reason
are you why doing this in 2 degree weather on an icy pitch? It doesn't seem to, again, go to the baseball analogy. Yes, we can play baseball in snowy weather. Of course we can. But we don't choose to do that.
Okay,
we do it because of circumstances.
When they made this schedule out. Right. And
do not go down that road that they thought it would be sunny and warm.
No. I'm not going down that road. There's a reason why they play, especially these Central American teams in the northern part of the United States.
Because it's cold.
No, because of fans. You're less likely. The reason why we play Mexico and Columbus every single time. And it's because there's not a huge Mexican population in Columbus. You can drive home. You're never gonna have the U.S. play Mexico in a World Cup qualifying match, say in San Diego or Houston or Florida,
because the crowd is going to be
because the crowd would be predominantly Mexican. Yes,
that's even worse than playing in cold weather because it's a weather advantage to your team.
It is. It is a weather advantage. Now, I mean that. You know, yeah, I don't know if they knew it wasn't going to be
that is disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. That the U.S. Men's National Team Committee, the people that are in charge, are saying, yeah, we don't like a certain group of people buying tickets to root for the team we're playing. So we're going to schedule games in which they're less likely to go because it's
They've
cold.
They've been doing it for years. No, not because it's cold.
That's awful.
No, they're not doing it because of weather.
Why
they'll play USA versus US
so
versus
they're choosing
Mexico.
Locations where the population isn't likely.
Yes,
that's even worse than the first thing I said.
They've been doing it for years.
Doesn't make it right. Then why say they've been doing it for years? That's irrelevant to the argument.
Because
that,
I mean
right
that gives them that competitive advantage. They want a pro US crowd.
There's no question about it. Listen, let's make this clear. I'm not saying that because the ends are awesome, the means should be dismissed. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? What I'm saying is I don't care what the ends are. That's disgusting. Like, it's disgusting to say, where could we have this game? Hey, you know where a lot of Mexican people live? Here, 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 and here. Let's make sure we don't have the games there.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
And they do.
You can't play a qualifying match in front of hostile crowd, then you're losers. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they do. They do play in front of hostile crowds every
of
time they go.
They do.
Every
I'm
time
not
they
saying
go
that.
Over
hold on,
down
hold
into
on,
the country.
Hold on. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're making a decision because you're too scared of the crowd that will come to the game and you have control over that, I think that's terrible.
But that's what they do. That's why a few years ago, I think it was
your
in
arguments
2000...
have to be better than it. Then, if you're going to stick up for this, your arguments have to be better than.
No, that's why.
That's
what they do. I mean, they schedule these games on purpose. I think it was 2013.
We're not arguing that
snowageddon. That's why they played Costa Rica when it was a foot of snow on the ground.
I think you're trying to convince me that this exists. I know this exists. What I'm saying is, it's not right.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Now, if you want to say it's right that they should be doing this, well, they absolutely you, should be getting
is it,
every geographical
is it right?
map in the country to plant games in certain locations so a certain group of fans don't go.
But you know, that makes we saw this with the Rams this past weekend.
Those are Americans.
Right, but
we're not talking about that.
We're not talking about ethnicity. I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about fan base as well.
What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. Your argument was the United States picks areas of the country without a certain ethnic population so that the ticket buyers would be a certain ethnic group that would root for the United States.
Okay, you can take it that way, or you can take it as fandom.
The argument of the Rams and the Niners has nothing to do with race or ethnicity. It has everything to do with just who you root for.
Right, but they went all out to make sure that Ram fans bought tickets, not Niners.
That's fine because you're not breaking it down by race or ethnicity.
Well, they're just saying where these guys are least likely to be.
Would it be okay if an NFL team said, make sure you don't sell to any immigrant group? If the person you're selling your ticket to comes from Honduras, Costa Rica, Mexico, or any other place, they're not discriminating
against them buying tickets. They're just saying that we're going to have it in this area because it'll more likely be pro-American fans.
White American fans?
Yes.
Nordic-looking fans?
No, just fans of the U.S. versus where in L.A. you probably have a larger population of or Southern California. You have a larger Mexican population rooting for Mexico.
They won't be rooting
for the United States.
So it gives them
a competitive advantage.
To me, that is a terrible way to decide where you're going to play games in this country. To look at a geographical map and determining certain ethnic groups and saying, well, they're more likely to root for the team we're playing against. So let's have it and let's put it in areas of the country where they don't exist. So that the ticket buying public, that's disgusting.
It's been going on for years. This is the first time you've heard
about
it?
Yeah, I don't follow soccer.
I mean, this has been a thing for years because they learn very quickly.
So my argument is, at least I'm basing the argument on, I think this is disgusting because I think it's awful to single out a group of people based on their country of origin to buy tickets. Your reasoning is they've always done it and you don't know about it, so therefore the argument is invalid.
No.
Why don't you just say, no, this is absolutely appropriate and every sort of international organization should be doing this consistently?
Well, I don't know if every international organization does do this consistently. Now,
they don't?
I do know
they don't
like
do it in Europe?
I don't think, well.
Like, does Germany do this?
See, here's the difference, right? Because soccer is still a weak sport considered, you know, compared to what the national team means to England or what the national team means to Germany, right? And there are certain situations where, especially when England teams go to play other European countries in that country, say when they go to play Germany, they will limit the amount of tickets being sold to England because they don't want hooligans. So they won't provide a lot of tickets.
But do they do that based on location?
They don't need to because they're not worried about the fan base who's buying the tickets.
So we're not comparing apples to apples.
The U.S. has to take in consideration about their fan base, about who actually will come to root for them. If they do hold it in Southern California, because soccer's not a mainstream sport.
But why?
It's the same reason why the Rams were concerned, okay? Look at it
but
this
why?
Way.
Why?
Were
why?
The, what do you mean why?
Why?
Why are they concerned?
No, just explain why. Don't say because somebody else did it. Tell me
no,
why. Just
but,
say, state
why?
The reason.
They want a pro-U.S. crowd. They want the U.S. to have a home team feel,
okay.
Home crowd feel.
But does it matter?
Does it matter? Yes.
Why would it matter?
What do you mean, why would it matter?
Why would
any team want a home team feel?
Well, do NFL teams say, well, because we're going on the road, we can't win this game?
No, they go
NBA,
on the road.
Do NBA teams go,
okay,
well,
but,
we're
no,
going
but
to
we
five-serve
do.
Field to play the five-serve arena to
but
play
we
the Bucks,
want, what
chalk
we do
it up
want,
as a loss.
What we do want is when our team plays at home, we want them to have a little bit of an easier time where they're not having to go to a silent count in their own stadium.
Sure,
that's true. Soccer's the same thing where you want to have the crowd cheering for you, chanting your name, instead of chanting the other team's name.
It would be as if the NFL plotted Super Bowls and said, we want to make sure we keep out a certain group of people.
Okay. I mean, I don't see it that way.
I think you have the game in America, and you let the chips fall where they may.
Okay. Well, I mean, they, you know,
like you don't look at redistricting maps and certain breakdowns of the population, and then cross those cities off your list because you can't sell tickets to people that are going to root for the United States. It's one thing to say we don't want Steeler fans here. Okay, it's all fun and games, right? They root for the team, they invade your city. But this is actually saying, well, the certain group of people that live here are a certain ethnic group, and we don't like that because they'll buy the tickets. And so we won't give that city that game because there's not enough of our people that live there.
You can break it down that way, or you can say our fans. Because, I mean, let's, you know.
Oh, but no.
But they're not looking at it, our people. They're not looking at it as a discriminatory fashion. They're looking at it as like, will our fans be most prominent?
Why wouldn't it be? Well, okay. Oh, we're going to continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb. This is a fascinating conversation because I'm really blown away by this, that decision was made on that. And again, I am willing to admit, because I don't know much about it, that this is an acceptable thing for everyone involved in USA Soccer. But to me, to say this city can't host a game because too many Mexicans live here is silly. That's awful. That's silly. Like, well, let's go to this place because not many of them live here.
That's not where their strongest fan base is.
Well, you can simplify it by saying a certain group of people doesn't live here. So therefore, we can have the game here safely. So we can have our people root for us. I don't know why it's not sitting well with me. It doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't sound good. It sounds nefarious to me. I don't know. All right, when we come back, though, we're going to get the good, the bad, and the dumb. But a very fascinating conversation, and I learned something when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb is continuing, but we had a really good conversation about the U.S. practice of planting games. That was just kind of fun. I did not realize any of that. All right, where are we? Bad?
Bad
of the day.
Well, I think we
just went through bad.
I think we covered, it always feels like we covered good, bad, and dumb there.
Yeah. Real quick, though, congratulations to the U.S. soccer team. They're one win away from qualifying for the World Cup.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which they did not do last time the World Cup was held. Right?
Yeah, and they have a pretty easy road. All they need to do is they have to play against Mexico. That's their last hard game, and that'll be in Mexico, in Mexico City.
Well, at least it'll be warm.
And then the last two games will be fine.
Okay.
The bad of the day, I gotta point out to the Lakers and Jerry West are having a little bit of beef right now. I guess it's been ongoing beef, and it escalated to where Jerry West, his season tickets were abruptly canceled.
Jerry West's season tickets were canceled?
Yes.
What did he do?
Well, he was gifted season tickets by Dr. Jerry West. Right? The old owner of the team.
Right.
And then he received in a text message. I think it was at the beginning of this season that his season tickets were no longer valid.
Oh no!
He was a little hurt when Jeannie Buss was on a podcast. Now, this is like old man syndrome, I think, this part.
Right.
But he was a little hurt when Jeannie Buss did not include him as one of the top five influential Lakers of all time.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that was the beginning of it.
I think you're right about the old man hurt thing.
Yeah. You know, because her top five was Kareem, Kobe, Magic. I think she went Worthy, not.
Ooh. Okay, now I might have a beef with this.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, or maybe it was Shaq.
Maybe
it was
Shaq.
One of the two. She also included Phil Jackson, not Jerry, and Jerry West was left out.
Oh, ouch. I don't know about that. I don't know, man. Jerry West seems like somebody you would have to say on a list of Lakers, even if maybe you don't.
Oh, no. I'll make it worse for you. I'm sorry. I'll make this worse. Her top five Lakers of all time are Kareem, Kobe, Magic. I already mentioned Phil Jackson and LeBron James.
LeBron James already?
Yeah.
Seriously?
I'm with you on that one.
Championship in Disney World bubble?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. With LeBron, he's not one of the most influential Lakers of all time. One of the most important Lakers of all time.
There was something went down behind the scenes between that family and Jerry West that's even worse than we know.
That we're letting on.
Because
he also said he wanted to, he offered his services to help consult them because he's doing that for the Clippers.
And they said no.
And they said no. So now he feels like a discarded piece of trash.
Dad,
and he is questioning whether or not he should have ever played with the Lakers in the first place.
Oh, please stop doing that. Let's not make this larger than it is.
Yeah.
You had a great career. You're a legend.
Don't
let current things nullify everything you've accomplished.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the old man part comes because he said when she did list her top five, which is on a podcast, All the Smoke podcast, he said it was one of the most offensive things he's ever heard in his entire life.
Oh, stop that.
So I think that's where the old man part is coming in.
Stop that. Come on.
The most offensive thing
he's ever heard in his entire life.
Yeah. It is upsetting, though, that, the Lakers and the logo cannot get along.
I know. That is true. That is absolutely true.
Can you imagine? I mean, just any other team be like all of a sudden, like Troy not getting along with the Cowboys, like Jerry Jones slighted Troy somehow.
Right. I completely. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, is did you know the Olympics have started?
Well, I had to find that out today that the Olympics were underway.
We've already got some results in. There will be some Olympic Games happening. Actually, there's ice hockey, women's ice hockey, Finland versus U.S. is happening right now.
Are we favorites for the gold? I don't know why I'm asking you. You're probably like me. You probably don't know this stuff.
Sure. Are we always favored?
I think, I don't know.
Are we expected to win all the golds?
Oh, at the Winter Games? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Think we do Nordic bobsled. I know Nordic biathlon as well as Norway does.
I know.
These are sports.
Ski shooting.
The weird thing about the Winter Games is this. The Summer Games, you watch the Summer Games and you're like, oh, I've done that. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. But not on the high level, right? We've all had bow and arrows in archery. We've all ran. We've all
swam.
We there's so many different events that we've tried.
We had to do some mandatory gymnastics and PE.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've done a lot of these things, not at the highest level. Some people are like, I've never cross-country skied with a rifle on my shoulder, ever.
That's just weird. You haven't? Yeah.
I've never gone down a luge.
Yeah.
I've never skied down moguls or went over a half pipe. Never did any of this stuff. Like, some people never have.
I have gone ice skating.
So, yeah, have you ever done a triple Lutz?
I've never left. The only time my feet have left the ice is usually when I'm landing on my backside.
Yeah, exactly. Remember we were talking about this not that long, I think earlier this week, where you said, like, we were talking about Rafael Nadal, and we were like, if you're a kid in Europe that has any, like, if you hit a ball, if you're like two and you hit a ball against a wall and somebody goes, holy cow, bye-bye, parents. Like, they're shuffling you off.
Yep.
That's the way it is in, like, figure skating. And, like, that's the way, like, figure skating, it's like, if you get two-year-old Janny out there with her skates on and she can do something, they're like, hey, mom and dad, how would you like to devote your entire child's life to nothing but this?
You land one jump.
Exactly. And they go, yep. And that's why Nancy Kerrigan was treated as a princess in Tonya Harding's Mother's Struggle, because she didn't get that, even though she was very talented, she wasn't kind of on that path. You know?
Now, is there a winter sport that you would definitely do? Like, if given the opportunity, which one of those sports would you want to try most?
I would love to be in a bobsled.
Okay.
I think being like on a four-man bobsled, but the guy in the middle that doesn't have to do anything.
he was there to push at the beginning.
I'll push it, and then I just want to be on for the ride. Like, you steer, and you do something with the brake in the back, I guess. I don't know. But I want to be the middle guy that's just like, woo!
I think that would be fun. See, for me, I think it would, and I know that there's clubs that you can do. There's a place you can do it, but I want to try curling.
Curling, I think I could do. I think I kind of dig that. There's some curling, man. That's great. Terrell Davis, formerly of the Denver Broncos, Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion, joins us next. We talk about the big game. That's next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with our Throwback Thursday edition on this date, 2002. So we're going 20 years ago. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots beat the St. Louis Rams 20-17. Adam Vinatieri kicking the game-winning field goal. And look what it launched. A Patriot 20-year dynasty, if you will. And all of the Super Bowls Brady would win. It started 20 years ago today. And it's funny when you look back that think 20 years ago, we really didn't know what we were in for. And I think when the Patriots didn't make the playoffs the next year, we probably thought, well, that was fun. But little did we know 20 years later. Speaking of Super Bowls and speaking of a Super Bowl MVP, Terrell Davis joins us, former Denver Bronco running back, on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Terrell Davis here to talk about the big game and how to make it more fun. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How you doing, RC?
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the ways you can make this big game festivity a lot more fun and a lot more interesting.
Absolutely, man. So today I'm going to tell you everything you need to know to host the ultimate game day party. The first thing you need to know is how to watch the game, and that's the Fire TV Stick 4K Max. It's the ultimate game day companion. You simply plug it into your TV and use your Alexa voice remote and ask Alexa, watch the big game. You can stream the game live. It's simple to launch and control content with your voice so you never miss a moment of the big game. For more, go to Amazon.com/Fire TV. Now, I get it. You want the ultimate game day experience without the ultimate hole in your wallet. So consider buying like new tech and home upgrades as you get game day ready. eBay Refurbished is the ultimate destination for high-quality, trusted like new products from premium brands, including Ninja, Samsung, and KitchenAid, and all for a fraction of the price of new. You won't sacrifice quality for savings. All items are screened to look, work, and feel like new. Up to 2 years warranty and ships for free. Everything you need to know for game day at ebay.com/refurbished. This is also a great time to shop for TV, snacks, and other technology products. But before you shop, check out splitdeals.net, the only shopping platform powered by millions of shoppers helping shoppers. You can get great deals from all the top retailers like Amazon and Walmart. It's like having 12 million friends to help you share and understand the very best deals at any given time. So check out slickdeals.net for more savings. Now, no party is complete without snacks, and Farm Rich is the official snack of game day. For my football spread, we're making, you can't see it here, but we're making a smoky cola glazed meatball in a slow cooker, and it smells and tastes delicious. Then I'm adding loaded potato skins and mozzarella sticks. These sticks are phenomenal. No snack spread is complete without cheese sticks. So go to farmrich.com and look for Farm Rich at your local grocery store and online for more. And that's how you have the ultimate party for your game day.
All right, so I got the Fire TV. I got the goods for the food, the mozzarella sticks. But I need information. This is the Bengals and Rams, TD. What do you see in this game coming up next weekend?
Ooh, man, you know, the Bengals have been a team that obviously, I didn't pick them. Obviously, I didn't pick them to make it here. I thought they would be knocked out by the Chiefs, and they have just defied what a young team could do. And I think it's all been on the energy and the arm of Joe Burrow. The defense has played really well, and so they have a chance. Obviously, the Rams are a team that has the same chance. I mean, this Rams team, the defense is looking really good. I think Von Miller, obviously Aaron Donald, have been just monsters up front. And I think Matthew Stafford is qualified. I think he's a quarterback that has done enough to get to this game. And either quarterback in this game can kind of take over at any moment. Now, the run game, you got Sony on the side right there doing his thing. You got Joe Mixon, who is one of the best backs in the game. So it's going to be a great game. If I had to pick a winner right now, I would lean toward the Rams, but that could change. But, yeah, that's just my early prediction. I'm picking the Rams to win this. And, plus, I'm going for my man Matthew Stafford, who's the Georgia Bulldog.
Georgia Bulldog, that's right.
Yeah, and Sony Michel as well. You know, two Bulldogs that I'm kind of rooting for.
Let's talk about your Super Bowl experience. Okay.
And Floyd, by the way.
All right. Well, let's talk about your Super Bowl experience.
I've been to one as well.
All right. All right. When you guys went to Super Bowl, when you guys went to Super Bowl 32, and obviously we know the end result. You guys won, you beat the Green Bay Packers, and of course it was famous for "This One's for John." How much as a team, as you guys focus on the game, how much in the back of your mind did you think how badly you wanted to get it for John, given what he had done in the Super Bowl in the 80s?
Yeah, I think that was that was part of the fuel to win that game. I mean, we wanted to win it, but it was also kind of special if we could send John out and say that we were part of a team that helped him win his first championship.
Yeah.
And when you have somebody like that, it's easy to try to play hard for, because you respect his game. And this dude has done a lot for this game, and he hasn't won one. So that was certainly in the back of our minds of pushing through that playoff run. And then to finally have that one and Pat Bowlen stand up, and, like you said, on the podium and put the trophy in the air and say, "This one's for John." I was in the background saying, "Yeah, and me too, right? It's for me too."
That's right. Well, you were the MVP, so.
Yeah.
How bad was your migraine? I know it's kind of famous now, but how bad was it for you in that game? And you finished with three touchdowns, including the game, the touchdown that, you know, gave the lead for good.
Yeah, well, it was a migraine. It was a full blown migraine. And if you know anything about migraines, they're like a spectrum disease. Like, they go from 1 to 10 on the spectrum. I was diagnosed with like 11 or 12 with my migraines. So I'll have nausea, vomiting, loss of vision. I'd have all those things, and basically be, you know, where I can't do anything. And so to play through that game with it wasn't ideal. But I told myself at the time, I said, "Man, tomorrow I'll be well. You know, tomorrow I'll be sitting on my couch or wherever, and I would regret if I came out of this game." So I just couldn't. You know, I came out because I couldn't see in the second quarter, but I went back in, and I played through probably a migraine at about a 7 or 8, because I had medication that I was taking. So, I mean, listen, there was just no option. I had to play through that game. I just did what I had to do. Yeah.
What is it like for a team, and as you guys won the Super Bowl but then went into next season, was the team any different as champions preparing to defend rather than a team that was trying to get there?
The difference was, I don't think so. You know, we felt like we were the same team. We remained hungry. We remained focused on trying to win a championship. I think the difference was, we didn't say we wanted to go back-to-back. We wanted to win another one. We were just focused on winning a championship. And so we didn't allow bad habits to creep in. We didn't allow complacency. We didn't allow our team to feel like, all right, we've already accomplished this championship, so now we can just rest up. No, we were still just going 100 miles an hour, and every game we played felt like we were playing playoff games. You know how it is when you're the champs. Everybody play you like you are. If they beat you, then somehow they become a champion, and you're fighting that all season long. And we were fortunate that year. We started off 13-0 that year. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
so we were 13-0
right.
Coming off that Super Bowl. And once we started getting to the end of that season, we started to feel a little pressure, I'm not going to lie, to go undefeated, because we were looking at the 72 Dolphins and trying to go for that. And the media brought it up more than we brought it up. But then you kind of feel like some of the coaches were getting tight, some players were getting tight. So then we lost that game to the New York Giants in New York, and it relieved us. Like, that game was one you don't want to lose, but if you lose it, you're like, you know what, that was okay. You know, we're okay with that. And so it freed us up to just get back to the basics and then go on that playoff run. We lost to the Dolphins the next week as well, so we lost 2 in a row after going 13-0. And so people were questioning whether we were a good team or not. We're like, man, yeah, we just lost 2 games. That's it. And so we corrected things against, I believe it was the Seahawks, yeah, and then went on that playoff run and won it and beat the Falcons in Super Bowl.
One final question with Terrell Davis, former Super Bowl champion, Denver Broncos running back. Real quick, your thoughts on the running back position today, It's been over 20 years when you were running the ball with the Broncos. And yes, there's still Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon's in the Super Bowl, Sony Michel that you mentioned earlier. There are still still good running backs in this league. Has the importance of the position changed since you played? We seems to talk about high flying quarterbacks, but where do you see the running back position in 2022?
I still think it's a necessity, and the reason I think it's a necessity is because as much as these quarterbacks are throwing a football, and a lot of these QBs are really good, there's going to be a game where you have to. I call it having a right and left punch. You know, a boxer has to have, you can jab, and he has to have a knockout. We were like that. We were built. We had a really good passing game. We had a really good run game. And where these teams struggle a lot of times is when they get into games where they need a running back. They need a run game. Like all year long, they may have been throwing the football. They might have been putting up 40 points on the board. They may have been a number one offense. But there's games. You're going to have a game where you just cannot throw the football. That's when you need to be able to lean on a run game and have that run game work for you. And that's why I think the importance of the run game is still there. The importance has not gone away. They don't use the run game like they used to. But the importance of it, to me, you still got to have that when you need it.
Joel Davis, thank you so much. I know you're still such a beloved athlete in Denver. I was there for a number of years, and everyone is so happy you're in the Hall of Fame. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
You got it. Terrell Davis, former Denver Bronco running back, two-time Super Bowl champion, and a former Super Bowl MVP. Again, three touchdown runs in that big win against the Green Bay Packers. As I mentioned earlier, it was not only giving John Elway a Super Bowl, which, you know, we see the elite quarterbacks, and we still wish Dan Marino got at least one, but John Elway finally got one later in his career, thanks to Terrell Davis and that Denver Bronco team. But it also ended a very long NFC dynasty in that Super Bowl. They were winning every Super Bowl over the AFC. In a lot of cases, they were blowing AFC teams out, and it looked like on paper that this could be yet another one, because that's how good Green Bay was. But this Bronco team won that game. John Elway got his. The Broncos got theirs because they had gone to the Super Bowl four times without winning, one with Craig Morton, three with John Elway. And it ended, finally gave the AFC their first. This was 1998, January of 1998, gave the first Super Bowl since 1984. That's how long the dynasty of the NFC was in that Super Bowl. Terrell Davis joining us on our Progressive guest line. And again, with Progressive, quote, buy and save on home and car insurance with Progressive's home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
She's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks to Terrell Davis for joining us. Talk a little Super Bowl with him. He likes the Rams. But you know what else we found out he likes, Ron? Every Georgia
Bulldogs
player that was in the Super Bowl. Poor guy. I was cutting him off while he was listing all the Bulldogs that were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that
guy.
Well,
it's not your fault.
No, I thought he was done.
Yeah. He just kept naming them off. Oh, I got another one.
Poor guy. I was trying to ask him about his experience at the Super Bowl. He kept going, and I was like, okay, but another Bulldog.
There aren't that many Bulldogs on the Rams. They can't be all Rams.
I was going to ask him about winning the national championship, like Georgia winning the national championship, but I was like, nah, I'll just stick to his time in the Super Bowl. It seems more interesting.
Well, because, if you did, he'd still be listening Bulldogs right now.
That's right. That's very true. Good point. But I think that was one of my favorite Super Bowls, that Super Bowl 32 with John Elway and the Broncos.
The helicopter.
Yeah. I think that I wasn't anti-Green Bay. I know, I liked Green Bay. I liked Brett Favre. I had no problems with it. But I think as that game was progressing and knowing the history of the Super Bowl, I kind of was like, this is great. This could happen. Like, John Elway could get a championship. The Broncos, the AFC can finally win this thing. And again, I am not a big, I'm an AFC guy. I'm not. And I'm not an NL or AL guy. I'm not an SEC guy. Like, I don't root for the conference or a division or anything like that. I think it's all kind of nonsense. I don't know why people do that. I don't think it matters. It doesn't help your team if the SEC wins the title and your team isn't that team. I don't think it helps the Tennessee Titans if the AFC wins the Super Bowl. But people root for whatever reason they want. That's fine. But to me, I think it was I didn't want the AFC to be just a doormat for whatever explosive NFC team was just coming down in that particular era.
See, I was looking at – I looked at it this way. I was rooting for Elway.
Yeah, I was rooting for Elway, too. Because, he was 36 years old at the
time.
Yeah,
and if the, you know, if there is a player that deserved a Super Bowl ring at that time, you were thinking about it. I was like, it was Elway. You know,
yeah,
wasn't Favre.
I didn't want – I was really worried. I remember having, like, conversations – you know, when I was younger, about like what if Jim Kelly, John Elway, and Dan Marino, none of them get rings, right? And what if none of them get Super Bowl rings? I was like, how would we talk about that draft class? Like, would we say it was the best ever if none of those guys won championships? And then Elway won, and it sort of changed a little bit. Yes, Dan Marino had one shot, didn't make it. Jim Kelly had four, didn't make it. But John Elway, you're right. There was a feeling like, man, this is incomplete. Because, again, he had three cracks at it, and he got destroyed in every one of them. I mean, really got killed. I mean, just the Giants' first Super Bowl where the defense got to him and Phil Simms out-dueled him, and then to see Washington and Doug Williams put up 35 in the second quarter, and then Joe Montana playing catch with Jerry Rice, right, just up and down the field, like just casual. I remember talking to Joe Montana about his Super Bowl wins, and I'm like, you won a close game, you won a blowout, you won your first one, you beat Dan Marino. Like, all four of them are different. Elway's was kind of the same those first three. We got killed. All right, hour three coming up. Dave Preston will join us to talk about the Washington Commanders. Yeah, the Commanders. We'll see how that went.